Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave, and thank you, Henry. And we're thankful for all of our instrumentalists. God bless you. Good to see you this morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, we're delighted to have you today. To my right is Ryan Wicker. Ryan Wicker is serving currently part-time as our associate pastor for adult ministry. And this at the end of this service, I want you to see Ryan. Rebecca's at home with two sick kids today, so they couldn't be here. Ryan served as a deacon for many years, also has been served as a deacon officer, and then has been, our church called him part-time to serve. And today at the end of this service, we voted at 8 o'clock and we voted at 9 o'clock, our membership, and we'll vote today at the end to call him full-time to serve as our minister of education. So I wanted you to see Ryan. Here he is in all of his glory. Here he is. Would you say thank you to Ryan for what he already does? All right. Good. All right. I'd like for you to take just a moment. We're updating you on our this time of the year. We're also preparing for our new budget. It's very important in the life of our church that all of you who are part of this church, we give our tithes and offerings to carry out the work the Lord has given us to do in this area. And so I want you to watch this additional segment of the video we're trying to make to talk about the purposes of our budget. All right, let's bring the house lights down and show the video.
Hello, I'm Steve Shepherd, Associate Pastor of Worship and Music at First Baptist. It is the mission of our church to be committed to follow Jesus, love others like Jesus, and tell the world about Jesus. As a ministry team, we strive to be available, accessible, helpful, and touchable in all areas of ministry. Our mission scripture passage is found in Mark 3, verses 13 and 14.
And he went up on the mountain and summoned those he himself wanted, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach.
Jesus said, "This is my commandment, love one another." So as we think about our budget needs at First Baptist Church, we're thinking about our mission, about the importance, as we've already seen, of following Jesus. Now we talk about loving Jesus, and in the days ahead, we'll talk about telling others about Jesus. So all the funding and all the giving and all the gifts and budgets that we, money that we share here, focus around today, I want to talk about loving others like Jesus. So in our 2017 budget, there are a number of ways that represent how we love one another. So at First Baptist Church, I got to tell you, this is a loving church. I've always been impressed by the loving nature of our people who love and care for people deeply, who love to care and minister to others. So we have provided in our budget opportunities from expanding ministries to new kinds of ideas and opportunities in ministry that may come up during the year that we discover that we want to be involved in. Expo was an example. We have other things that we've done through the years. But in 2017, one focus we have has to do with these emerging ministries that we discover where we're going to go out and use some of our budget money to love other people like Jesus. Another part of what we do, and this is a large part of what we do, First Baptist Church loves and honors and has always the pastoral and support staff of this church who love the people and who give themselves for us. So let me just remind you of these wonderful people that you have called out, you have voted on, selected to serve you in the life of this church. I'm honored to serve as your pastor, but I stand shoulder to shoulder with some great ministers. I think about the work of Steve Shepherd, our associate pastor of worship and music. I'm grateful for Steve's many years of service to this church. I'm grateful to serve with Todd Vermilion, our associate pastor of discipleship, outreach, and ministries. And I'm thankful for how God has used him for many years for many generations in the life of this church, and he continues to serve passionately for the Lord in this place. I'm grateful for Ryan Wicker, who is our associate pastor of education, who's coming on now to serve full time in the next year. As things move along, we're grateful for him to be here to help us guide our growing Sunday school at all levels of our work. I'm grateful for Patty Gooden, who directs and shares with us and leads us as our administrator, who so capably helps us keep things organized and things moving along and coordinates the committee work of our church. I'm grateful for Ken Metcalf, who serves as our associate pastor of preschool and children and does it so capably, coming out of the school system to come back and be here and fulfill the calling God has put upon his life. And I'm grateful for Tim Hopper, who is our associate pastor of students, reaching out to the student generation, leading our parents and our student teachers as we reach out and lead people to Jesus. All of this staff, along with Jeff Martin. What could we do without Jeff? Jeff does so many things, director of media and communications, worship and ministry assistant. In addition to that, we have all of our support staff who serve so capably here, and the staff leaders of the CDC, our Childhood Development Center, and also of our pre-K. This is your staff. This is your set of leaders. And this part of our budget is larger because you have committed to financially support us so that we can be here to carry out the work God has done through this church and will do in the days ahead. So I'm grateful to these people, and I thank you for your continued support. Paul said, "Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance." 1 Thessalonians 5:12. I want you to know this group of people and the money that you give in the budget takes care of the needs of not only these leaders and these wonderful people, but their families and their children. Thank you for loving other people, First Baptist Church, like Jesus.
So if you have your Bibles, John chapter 1 is where I'd like for you to turn. John chapter 1, and if you'll stand, please, in honor of the reading of God's Word. John chapter 1, verse number 35. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. Now, this is John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated and means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about 10 a.m. Let's start at verse 47 now. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And then a very important verse, verse 49. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So Heavenly Father, help us today now as we honor the coming of Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are our rabbi and you are our teacher. May we understand the importance and significance of what you have given to us, your words. You have taught us God's word. Help us to understand you and how you have taught us, and continue to teach us today through the teachers and preachers that you give in our lives and the blessed Holy Spirit inside of us who are born again. So bless this time in your word, Lord, and help us to understand and honor Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So today we think about Jesus, our rabbi teacher. And Jesus Christ has many titles. And we see here that the Bible teaches us that Nathanael had it right. He uses this very interesting word, rabbi. Now, we don't use the word rabbi, but rabbi reminds us of Jesus' ethnic origin. Jesus was born a Jew. Messiah, king of the Jews, and also Savior of the world. So this word rabbi was a very well-known word. In fact, it's the title most often used when people address Jesus all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all through his earthly ministry. So Jesus is the rabbi. Jesus is the teacher. He is the teacher sent from God. So what I want us to do just for a moment, we're going to dip into three different places in John, in the Gospel of John, so keep your Bible open. And I want us to look just for a moment at Jesus as teacher. And why that is so important to us as we seek to live for Jesus and follow him in these days. You know, Jesus is the master teacher. So here we are in 2016, and Pastor Mike standing up here talking about Jesus, the master teacher. Still quoting Jesus, thinking about his words. He was not like the other rabbis. The other rabbis would always quote tradition and the other rabbinic teachings. Jesus would say such things as this: you have heard that it was said in the old days, in the ancient days, you shall not kill, but I say to you. So as a rabbi, his teaching stood as equal to the law of God, which was an astounding thing. And yet he was shown and respected and understood as a rabbi, learned and understanding all of Scripture and all of God's Word. So it's important for us at this Christmas season for us to think about Jesus as our teacher. So first of all, I want to go to Nathanael's words in verse 49. Nathanael, this new follower of Jesus, new disciple of Jesus, when he comes to Jesus, he says three things. Rabbi, number two, you are the Son of God. Number three, you are the King of Israel. So in Nathanael's words, he gives us a clear picture of this rabbi teacher who is the Son of God and who is the King of Israel. Not just as any other rabbi. There's something unique about Jesus. I often call the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, your Bible, a red letter words. So in my Bible, they're red letters. I love that the publishers highlight them as red letter words to help us remember that these early followers of Jesus took the time to record for us many of the things Jesus said and taught. John tells us this isn't everything Jesus said and taught. He says, in fact, that if you tried to put down everything Jesus said and taught, the books of the world couldn't contain all that Jesus said and taught. So we come today to think about this very important principle, this very important fact that Jesus is the Son of God, King of Israel, teacher. Son of God, teacher, King of Israel, teacher. A King, God, teacher, the Lord Jesus. We learn something else about Jesus. Jesus explains the way to eternal life. So when Jesus teaches, he teaches us about eternal life. So in John 3, this ruler comes, Nicodemus. Many of us know the story in here of Nicodemus, this Jewish ruler of the Jews, coming to Jesus at night. He comes to Jesus at night, and notice what this religious Jewish leader says, how he addresses Jesus. He says, Rabbi. He gave Jesus the honor of the title Rabbi. He recognized in Jesus that this man spoke with authority and in a different way. And so this ruler of the Jews comes at night secretly, and he says, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. And so Jesus takes this occasion not to say what he said in the first chapter to all of these men who were coming, that he said, follow me. He says something different to Nicodemus. He doesn't call Nicodemus to follow him. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, well, follow me then. If I'm the rabbi, and if you believe that I'm one sent from God, follow me. No, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, a religious man, understanding all of Jewish law, understanding all what the prophets have said, truly, truly, I say to you, a religious man with Bible knowledge, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. So 2016, here on this November Sunday, Pastor Mike stands here to say to you the red letter words of Jesus. I love you all. I love being your friend, but I'm not a very good friend if I don't tell you this. You must be born again. You must know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You must confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And when you do that, you will be saved and your life will be changed. It's not enough to know Bible verses. It's not enough to have a heritage of people who've gone to church. It's not enough just to go to church. You must be born again. So Jesus teaches us these essential principles of how to have eternal life. And all through John chapter 3, we learn about that. Famous verse, John 3:16. We quote it. It's one of the first verses most of us learn as children. These are the words of Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. We're quoting the words of Jesus even to this day. Jesus is our teacher, and he explains the way to eternal life. Second, Jesus is our teacher because he explains, now this is very important, he explains God's truths. Now, if you have your Bible still open, I want you to go back to chapter 1 and look at verse number 18. John draws a conclusion about Jesus. He says of Jesus, no one has seen God at any time. He makes this statement about the world. No one's seen God at any time. We learn later, Jesus said, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. But listen to John. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father. That phrase is describing Jesus. The only begotten of God. The one who's been born into this world. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. The one who's begotten of God, the one who comes into this world, born into this world, sent from God, Savior of the world. He is also in the bosom of the Father, which means he's still. The mystery of mysteries is how can God have Jesus and be separate and yet the same? In the bosom of the Father, there is God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. He's in the bosom of the Father, but notice this. This only begotten God in the bosom of the Father explains the unseen God. Now that's very important for all of us to understand. Lots of us want to know things about God. We spend our time reading books from writers and people who want to talk to us about knowing God. But the best source for understanding the nature of God's love, the nature of his grace, his mercy, to understand how he really feels about the world, how he really feels about us, is to go to the words of Jesus. Because the words of Jesus explain the unseen God. So think about this. All that we learn about God comes from what Jesus says. And then we have all of these words that come from the followers of Jesus, the apostles, Paul and John and Peter and James, and others who wrote these words to amplify, to magnify what Jesus was teaching. So Jesus is our teacher, Son of God, King of Israel. He is our rabbi teacher, and he teaches us how to have eternal life. He teaches us the way to eternal life. He teaches us about God, whom we cannot see. But then he does something else. He explains the way to live. Now, to me, this is very important. You know, we've been talking about teaching these last days together when we talked about the five chairs. We talked about the generations and the church's responsibility to teach, and that's very important. So Jesus, when they were about to have the Passover, the final Passover that the disciples would share with Jesus, they were coming to the table there together. And by the way, remember tonight, we gather at the table of the Lord, church, and may I just say, you've been at everybody else's table. I hope you'll come tonight and be at the Lord's table. Hope you'll make plans and be a part of being here at the church and being a part of the table of the Lord, the Lord's Supper. Well, before the supper, we know these words. He washed the disciples' feet. He took his garments off, washed their feet, then he put them back on, sat down, and he says, "Do you know what I've done to you?" Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you know what I've done? You call me teacher and Lord." And you're right. I am teacher and Lord. He says, "But if the Lord and the teacher washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus gave them the example so that they would do also, to serve others, to yield in the most trivial ways. Go down below what we consider ourselves to be and humbly serve others, to show forgiveness and kindness. You know, Jesus taught by the way he lived. He was the master teacher, not only in his methods and the words and what he said, but his words were matched by his behavior. So, you know, we've been saying it here together these last few days as we talk about teaching in the church. And we've used this phrase, "I can't hear what you're saying because of how you're behaving. I can't hear what you're saying because of how you're behaving." Someone at work, you want them to know about Jesus, but in their mind, they may not say it out loud. They may say to you, "You know, I don't want to hear about Jesus, what you're saying, because I know how you treated those other people at work. I can't hear what you're saying because I know how you're treating your family. I can't hear what you're saying because I know how you've treated those other people at church." There was something of there was something that's very significant here. Jesus taught his followers to do what he said. He says in the Sermon on the Mount at the very end, "If you hear these words of mine and do them, you will be like a wise man who builds his house on a rock." In John chapter 13, if you have your Bible open there, there's a very important verse, and I want you to see this as we're finishing today. Because Jesus says at the bottom, after talking about the importance of doing what Jesus was teaching and Jesus modeling by his own actions what he taught, he says, verse 17, "If you know these things," what things? The things Jesus has taught us. "If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The blessing doesn't come with knowing God's word. The blessing doesn't come, you better be listening to me. The blessing doesn't come with knowledge of God's word, knowledge of Jesus' sayings. The blessing comes in doing the words that Jesus has taught us. So he would say, "Pray for those and bless those who despitefully use you." He would say, "Forgive people so that you might be forgiven." He would say, "Give to whoever asks of you and don't complain. Whoever asks you to go 1 mile, go another mile." Jesus says, if you know these things, you see, we've been around here at church doing this a long time. Some of you are from the same world as Pastor Mike. You know, I've been listening to people teach me about Jesus since I was a child. So I have a responsibility to act on what I have learned. Many, many people, many of them are now in heaven, who taught me God's word, who tried to teach me about Jesus, who tried to teach me about these words, for me to learn and understand these words. Many of you have grown up the same way as me. We're blessed people. Others who have joined us, now those who you have come, you've started a new family, you want your children the same way, to learn the words of Jesus. "But I know these things, but do I do them?" This is the challenge. This is the call of the teacher. Hear me, and then do what I say. You are my friends if you do what I say, Jesus mentions. And over, Jesus would say, whoever has ears, let him hear. So today, are you listening as you're here on this November Sunday morning? So many things to do, right, in life. Life is busy and filled with so many things to do. But do we listen to Jesus? Do we hear his words? Words that help us understand how to have eternal life. Words that speak to us about the unseen God. Everybody wants to know, how is God? What's he like? Listen to Jesus. Read the words of Jesus. He will tell you about the unseen God. He will tell you how he behaves toward those who respond and repent and come to him. He will tell you what happens to those who resist God and the judgment that will come. Jesus will always speak the truth about God, and he also will show you, as the master teacher, he says what he says and lives by what he says. You are blessed if you do what Jesus said. So, one of my favorite hymns is the hymn, Wonderful Words of Life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, listen or list to the loving call, the hymn says. Wonderful words of life. Oh, you and I are blessed to hear wonderful words. You didn't come here today and hear a bunch of terrible words. We've been singing praise to the Lord. Steve's been leading us in worship. We've been reading the scriptures together. And now we hear these words of Jesus, wonderful words. We go to a place to hear wonderful words of life. These words give life. Someone reads these words and you can't shake them. You can't get them out of your mind. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will live. All these words, so freely given, they woo us to heaven. These are words like no other words. They draw us. They attract us. They get in our minds and we can't forget them. They're wonderful words, beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, the words of Jesus. Wonderful words of life. You know, there is an unbroken chain from the time of Jesus to me standing here in front of you today in the church. Among all God's people, there's an unbroken chain. You know what it is? It is that we teach the words of Jesus. I have to tell you, Jesus said this about the Holy Spirit. But the Helper whom the Father will send in my name, listen carefully, many of us have heard these words many times, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said. The Holy Spirit doesn't teach anything new. Did you know that? Did you know the Holy Spirit simply points back to Jesus' words, points back to Jesus' life, points back to the way he lived? He points all of us who follow Jesus back to him. When someone crosses us, he reminds us gently, okay, remember, bless them, don't curse them. The Holy Spirit whispers to us, forgive that person, even though they will not forgive you. How many times should I forgive my brother, Lord? 70 times 7. Just keep forgiving and keep forgiving. How often do I have to help my brother? As often as they need your help. The Holy Spirit keeps bringing these words to our mind, these wonderful words. And from these wonderful words, guess what he does? He calls us, the church, to teach them to others, to the generations. So here's the unbroken chain. The Holy Spirit has come. Now, for all of these days, for all of us, for over 2,000 years, the Holy Spirit of God helping God's people teach the Word of God. Because Jesus tells us, it's our mission statement. It's our mission statement. Go into all the nations and make disciples. That's the first verb. Baptizing them. That's the second verb. Sometimes people want to stop right there. Sometimes they want to say, well, that's it. We've got to go to all the nations. We've got to make these disciples, and we've got to baptize them. But wait a minute, is that the end of the saying? No. Teaching them. Present tense. Keep teaching. Teach on Sunday. Teach on Sunday night. Teach on Monday. teach on Tuesday, teach on Wednesday, teach on Thursday, teach on Friday, teach on Saturday. Do we get a day off? Teach the Word of God. Teach them, by the way, what does he say? Teach them to observe all things I have commanded you. And I am with you always. So the unbroken chain of teaching goes to this very hour. Our teachers in our church who all prepare well. We are blessed in our church with a marvelous set of teachers for all of our ages. We teach our children. We teach our preschoolers. We teach our students. We teach our adults. What do? We teach them the Word of God. We teach them the wonderful words of life. Amen? Jesus is our teacher. He is Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. He is our teacher. Can you imagine living in the world without the teachings of Jesus? I cannot imagine. What would it be like? We may not always agree with Jesus' teachings. We may not always like what he says. But we know these words have authority. So Jesus would say, as I close, to his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus would say, be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus would say, if you want people to treat you a certain way, treat them the way you want to be treated. Jesus would say to us, don't practice your righteousness before people to be seen by them. Oh, do what you do righteously, knowing that there's someone who sees secretly. Your Father sees what you do. He sees what you say. He hears what you pray. He sees how you give, and he will reward you. So today we learn the words of Jesus come to us from the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, who spoke and explained to us, so we don't have to live in the dark anymore, how God loves the world and wants to have a relationship with every last one of us. So today, may we go telling others about Jesus, teaching them what we have heard, letting them know as best we can. You don't have to know it all to tell somebody what you know about Jesus. So we go today in the spirit of Jesus' teaching with the Holy Spirit to help us.